And though we're usually on a serious tip, check it out. Tonight we're gonna flip and trip and let it all hang out tonight. We're gonna say what we like.
October the 14th, 2015. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwick.net, your source since 1997 for all your pro wrestling news. And I want to welcome you to the latest edition of the GRP, the podcast that tells it like it is. And boy, we are really going to tell it like it is today. A lot to discuss, a lot on our mind today. Real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
That's right, it's Frank D, and you can check me out right now on the Raw Deal podcast, exclusively at Gerwick.net, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Check it out. Myself and Allie Green, we go up there, and we actually give you the Raw Deal. We don't hold back. We tell you exactly how it is, so check that out right now. Also, YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast is the place to go for previous editions of the GRP, including interviews we've done with talents the likes of Eric Bischoff, Teddy Long, Vince Russo, and most recently Virgil. So like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast.
Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. It's the quickest way to show your support for this show and our podcast and the Gerwick.net website. So definitely check it out. Order a shirt. Order a shirt for your friend, your mom, your dad, your uncle, your wrestling fan, even the disgruntled wrestling fans out there. Would love to have a GRP t-shirt. You can buy the Raw style, the Nitro style, whichever style you prefer, or just a simple white Gerwick.net t-shirt. And it's hard to believe, since 1997, we've been covering this industry. And Frank, we have been waiting a long time on this podcast, all the way going back to the Gerwick Report hotline, 2004, 2005. We've been waiting a awful long time for this wrestling industry to get interesting, to turn a leaf, to jazz things up, spice things up. And there's periods where it goes up, it goes down. But Frank, I'm looking at these ratings. We've talked about the ratings before. The ratings are going in the toilet. I mean, you go back, you watch those Monday Night War series, and they're showing Raw 2.2 in 1995. What a terrible rating that was, right? Well, guess where we are here in 2015? And the difference is with the industry in 1995, at least if you didn't like what Vince McMahon giving you the goon or whichever idiotic character they were coming up with, you could flip over to see what was going on WCW on TBS. But now, today, Frank, really there's no alternative. I know people will say, what about TNA? What about TNA? Where are they at? To me, they're on the brink of extinction. I mean, they're on life support. I mean, they're supposed to have all this money. I don't see them pumping into the company. I see talent left and right leaving the company. And latest example is James Storm. James Storm could be headed to NXT. He could follow suit with Samoa Joe and join NXT, the hottest show in wrestling today. But Frank, we've been waiting an awful long time for this industry to get hot. And you've talked about it so many times on this podcast, on the Raw Deal. It's trickle down. If WWE is not hot, the wrestling industry is not hot. If WWE, or back in the day, was WWF was hot, the industry was hot. today we're seeing ratings fall into the toilet. Impact Wrestling has about one-third of the audience that did. You've talked about the problems with Ring of Honor not really clicking and the poor production value. And Frank, you know, week after week, sometimes I get tweets, I get emails, I get comments on Gerwick.net, people saying, where's the wrestling show this week? How come you didn't do a GRP this week? And sometimes I really scratch my head and say, what is it that you want us to discuss? What topics do you want us to cover? Because at the end of the day, WWE stinks. It's boring. It's stale. It's uninteresting. It's not engaging. It's not must-see television. Impact is on a station that very few people get, and the people that do get it don't watch it. I mean, like I said before, they have about a third of their audience. Ring of Honor has not really clicked on that station. I mean, unless you're going out and you're ordering the New Japan Pro Wrestling shows on iPay-per-view and getting up at 3 in the morning to watch, if you want to watch it live. You know, Frank, we've been waiting for a long time for this industry to get hot. And, you know, it's falling to 1995 levels for TV ratings. But again, I would say 1995 was more interesting because there was actually two brands. So if you didn't like the one, you could watch the other one. If you didn't like WCW, flicked over to what's going on WWF. But today, Frank, there really is no alternatives, and it continues to slide and slide. And that, you know, at some point, you know, when does this sliding stop, or does it stop? I mean, now we're hearing Vince McMahon is getting more hands-on. He's getting concerned about these ratings. Why wasn't he worried about these ratings a year ago? And now this built-in excuse in September and October, November, well, there was Monday Night Football, and this week there was a debate, and a couple weeks ago was the GOP debate, and we got all these built-in excuses. How about end of the day, look in the mirror, Frank, and just say your product stinks and nobody's watching it, and hell, Frank, you had a wild and crazy idea, and it may seem ridiculous to suggest, but for WWE, why don't they just bring back Vince Russo? It really can't get much worse.
No, why don't you bring back Vince Russo? And I'm going to say, you know, why I said that to begin with. It's simply this, okay? Russo and Ferrara, for the most part, were writing that WWF television on their own. Vince McMahon would come in and edit them and take out a lot of the bullshit that he didn't want on the show. But nonetheless, I look at it like this. If Vince Russo was successfully writing television for WWF at the time when the Attitude Era was going down, and we had this, you know, Austin versus McMahon, we had the rise of The Rock, we had the rise of Triple H, we had the corporate ministry going on. If all these ideas were coming from Vince Russo, Ed Ferrara, with Vince McMahon supervising, okay, and you have 30-plus writers right now writing this shit show, writing these shit pay-per-views, why not just bring back Vince Russo? Why not give Russo a chance and see where, I mean, it really can't hurt anything at this point to bring back Vince Russo. I know a lot of people out there are probably going to disagree with this fact. This will probably make TV tracks, and a lot of people on TV tracks are probably going to say, I'm out of my damn mind. But you know, at the end of the day, it really can't hurt nothing, because look what we're dealing with right now. I mean, I watched Raw this past Monday, and this show is a train wreck piece of shit. The whole damn show was built around the fact that the Authority were late getting to their own damn show. It left Corporate Kane in charge. Now, Corporate Kane, a.k.a. doing the Joseph Park angle from TNA. I'm sorry, but I don't find it entertaining. Okay? I watched Raw for, like, Kevin Owens. I watched Raw for The New Day. And that's pretty much it. Okay? I'm not like everybody else out here. I'm not on the Dolph Ziggler fan page. I'm not on the Dean Ambrose fan page. I'm just not feeling them. But I do like New Day, and I do like Kevin Owens. Now, other than that, the whole damn show sucks. And we're at the point right now where all this shit that has gone on for years and years and years has now cultivated into the fact that this show is the worst it's been, and the fact that there will never, ever be another high point in the wrestling business, in my opinion. It's never going to happen. Okay? NXT is a great brand that is produced by WWE. But it is not going to save the wrestling business, okay? At one point in time, TNA was an alternative. I'm just talking about way back in 2002 when they were NWA TNA, when every week you ordered the Wednesday night pay-per-views for $9.99, okay? And you would get a surprise here and a surprise there, whether it be, you know, Raven showing up or Sports Entertainment Extreme, you know, Primetime, Ilya Skipper doing the cage walk, you know, at Turning Point. We had some great shit going on there. But now, TNA, I'm sorry, the show sucks, okay? And, you know, our Facebook group got spammed a couple weeks ago by some jackoffs because I guess they didn't like my comments about TNA. Well, you know something? You spammed our group, I blocked and deleted your ass, and guess what? Your damn TNA show still sucks.
Yeah, you put the nail right on the head there. And I didn't see this week's Raw, but this storyline where they are late to their own show, or they show up during the show, when they have been there since, what, 11 in the morning for the production meeting?
They never showed up.
I always liked it back in the day when it was Raw, when it was 9 to 11, and they were waiting for the guy to show up at 10 o'clock at night. Where the hell's he been all day?
Listen, like I said, they put Corporate Kane in charge. Corporate Kane makes a match with himself versus Seth Rollins in the main event. It's going to be a lumberjack match, okay? Now, Triple H basically forbid Kane from wrestling in that match and find a replacement. Well, he found a replacement, Steve, and we already knew where this was going to go because it's so predictable. It's kid shit. Who came out? The Demon Kane. So if the Demon Kane came out, hey, I guess it's not the same as Corporate Kane, right?
I guess.
So that's what we're doing. In 2015, we're supposed to believe that Kane has split personalities now. I swear, I saw this in TNA already. Okay, I saw it in TNA, and you know it was okay then. I guess you know Joseph Park, you know he would become a beast because he saw blood. Blood would you know tick him off. But with this Kane situation, I'm just not feeling it. You know, nothing against Kane, but I said on Raw Deal when I wanted Kane to come back, I wanted to see the retro Kane. I wanted to see the Kane from 1997, the big red machine. Not the Demon Kane. And another thing, too, man, if they're calling Kane the Demon, then what the hell does that do for Finn Balor when Finn Balor becomes the Demon? It's a little conflict of interest there, in my opinion.
You know, another thing, too, Frank, I've been thinking about this for a while, and we have gone to More is Better. We have 2 hours of SmackDown. We have 3 hours of Raw. Impact is 2 hours. And it was all about, we need more time. We need more time. We have all these stars. We just need more time. Then it was the brand extension. Well, you know, we have stars on Raw. We can make stars on SmackDown. We have stars on SmackDown. We can make them on Raw. And we need more time. Impact needs 2 hours. It needs more time. We need more time. And then we got more time and more time and more time. And now it's just boring. I mean, there is no way I can today sit down and expect to sit through a three-hour Raw. There is no way. There's no way I'm going to sit down. You said this a couple podcasts ago. SmackDown is unwatchable. So why am I going to plunk down and watch a two-hour SmackDown on a Thursday night? Not to mention, you know, Frank, Thursday night is football night, too, because there's a Thursday night football, too. There's Thursday night football. There's Monday night football. There's football almost every night. My point is here, we get more and more. We got to have this extra time. We got to have the brand extension. We got to have, you know, make time for, we got to have time for this guy and this guy and this girl. We'll get her over with more time. And now it's just too much television. It's not very good to start. And then it's just amplified by additional hours of content. And I'm thinking back, you were just talking about Impact there. The time Impact was really, really good, and I know there's been times with a two-hour show. It's been, you know, they've had their runs. We talked about before with X Division and the Knockouts and things like that. They've had their runs, but when they were really, really good was when they were a one-hour show, and that's going back to the Fox Sports days when they first were on Friday afternoons. That was a must-see TV show. It was really engaging. It was a lot of athletic ability, X Division, good wrestling. And nobody watched it because it was on Fridays at 3 o'clock. And now we're just getting so much content. More this. And now we had Bound for Glory. And now we've got more and more shows. Supposed to watch Ring of Honor. I mean, really, when I was watching Ring of Honor on a weekly basis, it was about what you needed. Not that Ring of Honor was the blowaway show that it must see every week. But at the end of the Ring of Honor show, after 1 hour, I was fine. I was satisfied. I didn't need a second hour. I didn't need a third hour. Give me an hour, entertain me for an hour, put on a couple of decent matches, cut some interesting promos, get a couple characters over, advance a few storylines, and you know what? Make me want to watch next week. Don't just give me 3 hours of fluff, 3 hours of nothing, 3 hours anybody could sit down and write in 15 minutes. And give me something that I'm going to want to tune in for next week. I mean, Raw used to be, oh, you know, we had to watch Sunday Night Heat because we wanted to find out what's going to happen on Raw the next night. Now it's just more and more fluff. And, you know, we've talked about it before, Frank. It's, well, they're not going to go back to 2 hours because they're getting 3 hours and they're going to get more money. But it's just the oversaturation of the show. I've heard it discussed a lot of times that maybe the right medium or length of a TV show for wrestling today should be 90 minutes. Of course, nobody wants 90 minutes because they want either an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. But to me, Frank, these shows are just way too long. And honestly, if they go back to a one-hour show and they put the star power on there and they put some good angles and some good matches and make you want to tune in next week, that's the thing with Raw, man. You can miss several weeks and you've missed nothing. Same thing with Impact and unwatchable SmackDown. You can miss week after week and you turn it on. It's like, I've missed nothing. And it's like, it's just filler. They must just sit there and say, okay, what are we going to put on these shows? Because there's nothing that's engaging that's going to make you want to tune in next. I mean, that was the whole idea, Frank. Give me something that I want to watch the show next week, and they just don't do that anymore.
You know, that's the thing about it. When I look at NXT, NXT kind of reminds me of the old school way of doing things. Because, you know, see, NXT is only 1 hour, and it does its job for the most part. And then it builds to a takeover special in a couple of months. Kind of like the old school way of doing things. You remember back in the day when there would be a pay-per-view, and then in a couple of months there would be another one? Not every single month? So I think that's the reason why the NXT brand is not overexposed, like, say, Raw or SmackDown. And, you know, I kind of disagree with you a little bit when you were mentioning TNA. The thing about Impact back in the day when it was on Fox Sports Net at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would watch the show. Yeah, it was a good show. But TNA would put on those Wednesday night pay-per-views for 2 hours, and those were good shows. They were capable of doing good television when they were truly the alternative. But the moment they wanted to become the WWE version 2, that's when they started having problems, okay? Because the way that we talk about the NXT women's division is the way we used to talk about the knockouts in TNA. At one point, TNA had a hell of a tag team division down there. I mean, you had tag teams like Triple X. You had, you know, America's Most Wanted. You know, you had the New Church, Motor City Machine Guns. At one point, you even had the Young Bucks down there. X Division was on fire. Amazing Red. You know, Kid Cash. Frankie Kazarian. Matt Bentley. You had a lot of different, you know, factors down there that made TNA a true alternative. Now, not so much. And the fact that you can go on the WWE Network right now and you have Superstars, you got NXT, you got Main Event, and then you have SmackDown, and then you have Raw, plus you got Impact, plus you got Ring of Honor. It's, like you said, too much damn wrestling. And it's too much damn wrestling at a point in time when the wrestling business sucks. There's nobody going crazy about wrestling right now. It's not happening. Okay, unless you are 6 years old, 7 years old, and you're a John Cena fan, you are not getting excited about this shit. I look at, you know, Madison Square Garden special, you know, 2 weeks ago on the network. I look at the Dudley Boys coming out there literally to crickets, to no reaction. Now, is it them, or is it the fact that creatively the show is just terrible? I don't really know what it's going to take to fix this problem right now. The fact that we are at 95, 96 ratings, I don't know. But I know the current direction that they're going right now is not working. Kane versus Seth Rollins in the main event is not working. But you know what? If it was Seth Rollins versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time frame that we're in right now, I don't think that would work either.
I don't either. You could bring back CM Punk. You could bring back The Rock right now. It's not going to spice it up. It's so stale. That's a good point. How in 2015, when wrestling is so boring, so generic, so uninteresting and unengaging, how in the world are we getting more and more and more and more of this stuff? How in the world is USA saying, Well, you know, wrestling goes in cycles, but hey, we still need just 3 hours of Raw. When are they going to say, wait a minute, you know, honestly, the show would, if it was 2 hours, would get a higher rating. Nobody's watching this 3 hour Raw. When they would do those 3 hour Raw specials, the first hour would be a bomb. They would pull the number down. You knew this number was going to start to go down when they went to 3 hours. I mean, what a genius. So the show stinks, let's make it 3 hours. More people will watch it. It's like any show. If it stinks, let's just make it twice as long or 33% longer or 50% longer, and people will start watching the show. You know, they're getting to the point, Frank, and it's disgruntled wrestling fans. And sometimes disgruntled wrestling fans will tune out and tune back in. But I think we're seeing more and more today, Frank. These fans have just about had it. And I'm seeing a huge drop in viewership at Gerwick.net. I don't think it's the website. I think it's nobody's watching WWE. Nobody cares about NXT. And the news cycles are so boring. And that's why, you know, I sit here. It's the middle of the week. I debated if we're going to do a show this week, Frank, because what is there to talk about? There's nothing going on. The only thing cool was, oh, James Storm showed up to NXT. Okay, that's cool. The guy's worked his ass off. He's entertained for years. I mean, this guy's been in the business in like the late 90s. And it's about time the guy gets a little recognition. It's great that the WWE calls him up, NXT, whatever. And that he gets a little bit of a look. Whether or not he's going to be a full-time wrestler or a part-time wrestler and a part-time coach or whatever the situation is, that's the only thing going on. I'm seeing the situation, and I did not see Bound for Glory. I'll say it up front. Didn't see it. I don't know if it was a good show or a bad show. I read some things. People liked it. Some people didn't like it. But I saw shortly after what happened was that Matt Hardy won the championship. He became the TNA heavyweight champion. A couple days later, he decides to vacate the championship. And I saw a little graphic on Instagram, because I follow Impact Wrestling on Instagram, that Matt Hardy was relinquishing the championship. You should have saw the comments. You talk about being spammed on our Facebook group. It was it was like the same people, but they were anti-TNA. They could not believe this storyline. Like, who is writing this crap? Why in the world would you take the title off EC3 right now just to have this stupid storyline where Matt Hardy wins at your biggest pay-per-view of the year, a couple days later, he's no longer the champion. And then we're going to do a World Series where we're going to have girls in the tournament. That's right, Frank. We've gotten to the point in 2015. Why not? We got all these hours of television. And we've got a lot of knockouts because most of the male roster is depleted. So, Frank, we're going to incorporate a lot of the knockouts, which would have been interesting years ago when the knockouts were hot. But we're going to incorporate all these knockouts into this World Series to determine a new world champion. Frank, I can't wait for Gail Kim to be the TNA champion.
Yeah, I mean, no knock against Gail Kim, but...
No, not at all.
No, you know, it's just she can't help the company that she works for. But you know
there's a women's division. How could you have a women's division and have women in the male division?
Right.
How does that make any sense? I mean, we were ragging on WWE for lack of creative. How does that make any sense?
It really don't. It really doesn't at all.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
And you want people to watch this show? It's an insult to your intelligence. It's an insult to every male worker on that roster. Well, I don't think enough of you. I mean, put the low-level rung guys. Put the peons on there in the tournament. Build them up. No, we're going to put knockouts in the male division. For the World Heavyweight Championship, women are going to vie for that championship, Frank. Wow, that makes me want to watch Impact this week.
Yeah, you're alone on that one, pal. Because...
My gosh, I mean, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Forget this old stereotype. It's only the males can win the male championship belts, the heavyweight championship belts. Well, you know, it's equality, I guess, anymore, Frank. Why can't the women win the big belts? Why can't Gail Kim or Taryn Terrell or somebody on that roster win the TNA championship and represent? I guess I'm just backwards thinking, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like people actually thinking that Hillary Clinton actually has a chance in hell of becoming the president. Kind of the same thing.
Billy Corgan. Boy, what a genius that guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, We said, hey, we gave TNA a lot of credit. They fought outside the box. What was it, summer? They made Billy Corrigan, who I like, who ran his own little wrestling group there. Give him a chance. And in his defense, a lot of the rosters left since he got there. But now in the fall of 2015, the best thing you can come up with is switching the championship, declaring it vacant, and then putting women in your World Series of tournament or whatever it's going to be. That took a lot of genius input. That took a lot of thought, Frank. That's the best you can come up with?
I guess so, Steve.
Wow. Well, hats off to Billy Corrigan, man. What an idea. Woo! What a genius.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, I guess he got that idea from something happened in WCW when they put the World Tag Team titles on Judy Bagwell.
Or when Medusa won the Cruiserweight Championship.
That's right, Steve.
But then again, that was the Cruiserweight Championship, and it's not the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right. Right. You're right in saying that. But at the same time, same shit.
This is the creative process. Hey, let's take the title off EC3. We're building up a new star. Okay. Maybe Matt Hardy gets it. Okay. Matt Hardy. He's a big name. He's an established guy. We got Jeff Hardy. We got Matt Hardy. And then as soon as this happens and Matt Hardy relinquished the championship, then you got all these rumors. Well, Frank, the Hardy Boys must be jumping to WWE. You know, we got the Dudley Boys back. Maybe it's going to be Dudley Boys versus Hardy Boys all over again.
No, apparently this was all done in the summer. This angle was written. This is the way it was supposed to be. They have the episodes of Impact in the can, you know, talking about this shit.
Wow.
Somebody actually thought that this was a good idea. You know what this, you know, reminds me of? This reminds me of Starrcade 97. That's what it reminds me of. You actually have the fans. I mean, there are a lot of people that were happy that Matt Hardy actually got the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. There are a lot of people that were excited about where they were going to go with it, and then, oh, screw them. He's going to relinquish the belt. Same thing with Sting versus Hogan. People were happy about that, and then the title was held up. Same shit, different day.
What was the point of taking... I mean, honestly, what was the point of taking it off EC3 at this point?
I don't know, Steve. I guess they wanted to go for the shock value of Matt Hardy winning it. And, yeah, they just... That was stupid. I mean, you really should have just kept the belt on EC3 if they were going to go down this route. But like I said, apparently this was all done. Because you know what? They shot so much of their television. They shot it way before Bound for Glory. So everything that came afterwards is just going according to plan. Because of the great creative geniuses, the same creative geniuses that probably worked for WWE too, okay, thought this was a good idea. And in reality, it's stupid.
Well, I mean, if Billy Corrigan came up with this idea, or he was part of the process, I don't know. I just, how does this help your championship? How does this help the product? I mean, I like Gail Kim, but I don't want her to be the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
No, it's like you said before, it is a slap in your face. It is, you know, insulting your intelligence is pretty much what it's doing. And women should not be wrestling men. Even WWE doesn't do that anymore. And look how many intergender tag matches they used to do. They don't even do that shit anymore. I mean, I don't know, man. I really don't know where they're going with this. I think it's complete stupidity. Just like I thought, you know, Dixie Carter said she was going to make a big announcement a couple weeks ago, a huge announcement.
Oh, yeah.
And so we actually said, myself and Natalie said on Raw Deal, that usually when Dixie says she has a big announcement, it's bullshit. And it turns out that it was bullshit. It wasn't about a new TV deal here in the United States or anything like that. It was basically talking about some Indian tour that's going to be going on, and they think it's going to be a huge market for them, and they think it's going to be viable for them in the next few years. Well, we shall see if TNA makes it in the next few years. I believe, though, honestly, they probably will. Okay? They probably will make it. And hopefully, I'm going to say this right now, because there's a lot of people out there that think that, oh, you know, Frank D., you hate TNA. I don't hate TNA. I guarantee you I have more TNA merchandise than any of you out there saying that I hate TNA. Paying customer, by the way. Okay? But I would like to see the company do better. I would like to see the company be a true alternative. But those days are long gone. The day that they decided to get rid of AJ Styles and, you know, Christopher Daniels and everybody that made them what they are, that's kind of when I tuned out TNA. I'm just being honest about it.
And I'm seeing these reports, Frank, where, you know, they're going to go They're going to stay on the network, Destination America, until January. At least that's what everybody's saying now, right? That's the word. They're going to be on until January, and then it's going to be, we don't know. But there's this very optimistic viewpoint that Dixie Carter is going to secure another network, Frank, and that TNA will survive.
Steve, she probably will.
You mean to tell me, as bad, as boring, as whatever the adjective may be, uninspiring wrestling is today, nobody's talking about the water cooler. I know people that have kids, and wrestling today is geared more to kids than ever before. That kids don't even want to watch wrestling. That in 2015, actually 2016 now, as bad as wrestling is, as bad as TNA is, that somehow, some way, Dixie Carter, who has blown two relationships with other television networks, and as bad as her product is with no stars, well, I shouldn't say no stars, a very depleted roster, let's put it that way, compare what they used to be. Compare their roster today than where they were when they jumped to Destination America, put it that way. That somehow in 2016, Frank, she is going to convince a network out there that we've got to continue on with Impact Wrestling, where I know we only have a third of our audience, and we did in Spike TV days. But you know what, Frank? We're a viable product. We're a great group. We just canceled our Halloween tour in New Orleans or whatever it was. But you know what? You got to keep us afloat. And somehow, some way, she's going to find a way to find another television network to keep her show on the air.
But it's stupid. The reason why they have issues right now with, you know, Destination America. I mean, I guess it all comes back to the story about the carbon copied email. And has she not done that, maybe things will be a little bit different.
But well, had she not lied about Vince Russo, she'd still be on Spike TV.
Probably so.
And would be in a lot better shape. She'd probably have 1.2 million viewers every week.
Probably so.
Probably not much of it would be changed. At least he'd be back to 1 million viewers a week. Now you have 363,000, or whatever the average is. So despite everything, despite her incompetence, despite that you've totally let this roster fall apart, somehow, some way, even though wrestling is boring, nobody's talking about it, nobody's going to these websites anymore, including mine, I'll say it. Hey, traffic is way down. You're on the street, you're at McDonald's, or you're at the mall, nobody's talking about wrestling. Somehow, some way, I guess because maybe it's because, I don't know, Frank, there's, I don't know, 500 networks out there now, and that the networks have a network that has a network that has a network, and you have ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and you've got the Spanish versions of this station and the Spanish version of that station, maybe a French version of I don't know, Frank, but how in the world is she going to convince a TV network with the ratings dwindling in an industry where nobody's watching this stuff anymore? She's going to stay on TV. I just don't get it. And I'm not, hey, don't get me wrong. I don't root that TNA folds. I don't root that everybody loses their jobs. I don't do that. I just wonder what is the mindset of a network president or somebody head of programming to say, hey, Impact Wrestling, yeah, that would go well in our network. Yeah, we get a 0.1 or a 0.1 rating. Okay, let's put Impact on here. Can't do much worse. I just don't understand, man. I really don't. And I want TNA to continue. I do. I'd love to see the Carter start pumping some money in the company and keeping the talent and maybe bringing in some fresh faces that can liven things up, Frank. But I just don't see it. So what is the point here?
I don't know, Steve. That's a good question. What is the point? I mean, two failed relationships with two different networks. And you're back to square one in 2016 trying to find another network.
And just so you can tour India.
Yeah, and it's like this. The same person who was responsible for these two failed relationships with these two networks is Dixie Carter, and she's still in charge.
And nothing's going to change
that. Nothing's going to change. If Dixie Carter was to pull a new network deal out of her ass, and I'm telling you, see, she probably will if she were to do that. What's going to happen the next time? Third time's the charm, right? Three strikes and you're out. So what's going to happen the next time when this same thing happens again? When Dixie Carter's stupidity gets them thrown off another network? I want to hear the excuses then. Okay? Because you know what? Like Steve, no, I don't wish TNA to go out of business. Not at all. That doesn't mean that I'm going to all of a sudden start watching the product. No, I like to watch the old days of TNA, the glory days of TNA, NWA TNA. Okay? I like to watch and remember when Christian Cage came over, Kurt Angle came over. I like to think about those days, watch, you know, Samoa Joe versus Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles for the X Division Championship. Those are the type of things that I like to watch. You know, I can't get into the product now. I really can't. There's nothing about TNA that makes me want to watch the show. But I'm not knocking anybody else out there that wants to watch it. If you're a TNA fan and you like the product, that is your right to like the product all you want to. Okay? I'm not going to knock you. Because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, people say, you know, oh, you know, if you don't like TNA, then you're not a real wrestling fan. Well, I guess I'm not a real wrestling fan because I don't like TNA. But yeah, I've been watching this industry since I was, you know, 6 years old. I've been watching wrestling, seeing every damn thing about the business, seeing all the highs, all the way down to all the lows that we're experiencing right now. And the lows of this industry, they go all the way back to the year 2001, okay, when WCW went out of business. And ever since then, it's been nothing but shit. Outside of maybe the, you know, the ruthless aggression era that everybody, you know, talks about, that WWE seems to skim over for the action era. Outside of that point, wrestling has sucked ass. And it all goes back to the trickle-down effect, okay? When WWE was doing well, everybody else was doing well, okay? When WCW was doing well, it forced WWE to do better. And when WWE was starting to do better, ECW was starting to feel that. And then the independents were feeling that because everybody and their mama wanted to be a professional wrestler. Nowadays, not so much. Nobody is wanting to be a professional wrestler these days because I think they realize that really there's no money in it now. There's only one place to go, and there's only so many spots, and everybody's not going to get that spot. Everybody's not going to get that opportunity. And you know what? Like I said before on this podcast, I'm an NXT fan. I enjoy the product. I see it for what it is, though, okay? You know, it's not going to save the business. It's an enjoyable hour of TV, enjoyable 2 hours with the takeovers. I enjoy the hell out of Sasha Banks and Bayley, just like the next person. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. Because at the end of the day, Vince McMahon and Dixie Carter are still the heads of these two organizations, and they have the final say on what happens. Triple H does not. Triple H could have the greatest vision in the world. You see Triple H's vision, what he wants to do, you see it at NXT. Okay, but you don't see that on the main roster. In the main roster, talents like Sasha, who Sasha Banks is the most over, you know, women's wrestler they have on that main roster, period. It damn sure ain't the Bellas. All right, it ain't Paige. It's Sasha Banks. But look what they're doing up there right now with her. Nothing. Kevin Owens, he could be bringing prestige back to the IC Championship. They're not doing that. You know, he has a match here with Sin Cara, a match here with Kalisto. He got a feud with Ryback, for God's sakes. How is that bringing prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship? It's not. This podcast is not meant to be a podcast that's completely negative on the wrestling business. That's not what we're about. At the end of the day, me and Steve are fans. I can show you my personal library of wrestling content that I have. So much shit. Over 300 VHS videotapes of wrestling, pay-per-views, Coliseum Video, WCW, TNA, all the DVDs that I buy. I'm a huge fan, but the shit sucks now. It's at the lowest of lows. And it ain't just TNA, it's WWE. And at the end of the day, the WWE is the only thing that matters. Period. And that's pretty much how I sum it up.
You know, it's interesting too, Frank, going back a little bit to with Impact Wrestling, we're just talking about they may somehow, some way survive and convince another network to take them. And this would be before Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling attracts a TV deal. You know, you talked about this before, that Global Force Wrestling seems to be a carbon copy, or at least following in the same footsteps of TNA, a six-sided ring. I mean, heck, they're using a lot of the same talent. But how in the world would Dixie Carter, who's failed at a couple of networks now, her numbers are way, way down. Her talent roster totally depleted. She's a total airhead and blown two TV deals already. How in the world could she convince a network to take her over Jeff Jarrett?
I don't know. I mean, the thing about it is that if you look at the GFW Amped show and you put a side-by-side comparison with Impact, it's really the same damn thing outside of the different initials and different colors. It's the same damn thing. And I think that's where Jeff Jarrett really kind of made his mistake, is he should have just went back to the original four sides. Hey, TNA did not start with a six-sided ring. It started with four sides. And at the end of the day, that kind of matters, because the GFW to TNA fans, who are hardcore TNA fans, will look at Global Force and say it's a TNA ripoff. Thus, they won't support it.
Where is the creative process anymore? We talked about WWE. We talked about TNA and this stripping the championship, going, putting women in their tournament. And then you have Jeff Jarrett, who could be that next alternative. And it's TNA Lite. It's TNA 2.0. And look, Jeff, you know, you ran all your tapings in, what, the summer in Las Vegas. You have this amped, hyped video out now. And you brought in a lot of the same TNA talent. And you're not getting a television deal. I mean, what happens if we're here next year and you're still not, you still don't have a television deal? And you're making all these partnerships with this different organization, and we got a partnership in Mexico and Japan and the UK, et cetera, and they can't get a television deal. And at a time when wrestling's in the toilet from a creative standpoint, and yet Jeff Jarrett can't get a TV deal, and Dixie Carter's going to get the third go-around?
Yeah.
That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know what, Steve? It goes back to, like you just said there, where is the creative process? Where is the creativity? There really is no creativity anymore in wrestling. It's all recycled shit. I mean, half the shit that WWE does, they probably have done it already before, and if they're not, they're looking at other companies doing stuff, a la, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, Jay Lethal winning the heavyweight championship and TV title, holding at the same time. Then they put the U.S. title and WWE title on Seth Rollins at the same time. Same shit. Look at Kane. You know, split personalities. Look at TNA, the Joseph Park angle. He's one minute he's Joseph Park, next minute he's Abyss. So it's the same thing. I mean, but you know, it's just not in wrestling either, man. It's also in Hollywood. Everything that comes out now, as far as a motion picture, it's all a damn reboot. Okay? Hey, we don't have any new creative ideas, so let's just go ahead and reboot this. They're gonna reboot, you know, Halloween soon. They're gonna reboot, you know, Friday the 13th. You know, for all your horror movie fans out there. It's no creativity anymore with anything. Everybody is fresh out of ideas. Okay, I'm really surprised that WWE has gotten so damn desperate to the fact that they haven't thought about bringing back NWO again.
Who's to say they haven't?
You know?
That could be the next... here's the problem, is that you have 3 hours to fill. You have to put something on. Who could write a engaging weekly three-hour show, Frank? That's 150 hours.
Who could write that show?
Who could write that show?
Listen, if he had his mind on right, I think Vince Russo could write that show.
And then he'd burn out in about
two weeks.
Months.
No, I'm not.
Okay. 2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
2 months. I mean, you try to put that on a weekly. I mean, that's the reason he jumped off WWF ship, is he's putting all his energy, all his focus into making that two-hour Raw the best two-hour Raw he can possibly come up with. And Vince says, okay, let's start working on 2 hours of SmackDown now.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got to put more energy. And wait a minute. I mean, you going to pay me anymore?
Yeah, but let me say this right quick, too, because I don't want people to get it twisted. I'm not a Vince Russo fan or a Vince Russo supporter. I'm just going by history. History says, Vince Russo had some success. He might know what he's doing. So it really can't hurt to put Vince Russo back in the creative spot to see what Vince Russo can do with WWE in 2015. It really can't hurt. That's all I'm saying.
Why not? Why not at this point?
You know what? Why
are
not?
You so excited about today's show? Why not give the guy an opportunity? What the hell?
Well, why not? Why not give Paul Heyman an opportunity?
Why not give Jim Cornette an opportunity? Somebody. My gosh, there are creative minds out there, Frank. Kevin Sullivan is out there.
Hey, you know what's funny? It's down at NXT, right? Triple H actually uses wrestlers to help him book NXT.
You mean superstars?
No, I meant wrestlers.
Wrestlers? They can't say that.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it. You know? He actually uses wrestlers to help him book that show. And that's why it comes off so well, because he's actually using wrestlers, not some Hollywood jack-off writer who doesn't know shit about the wrestling business. Nothing. They want to create stories. They want to write, you know, they make movies over at WWE. Well, you know what, WWE? Your movies suck ass. They really do suck. It's the same damn thing every single damn week. It's the same shit. Every single week, it's the same thing. It's the Authority, or it's a long-winded Seth Rollins promo, or it's Corporate Kane, or it's John Cena coming out to the delightful sounds of John Cena sucks. It's the same damn retread over and over again. And don't even get me started on SmackDown, because I don't even watch that unwatchable piece of shit show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I know people are going to say, oh, my gosh, they actually endorse Vince Russo. Believe us. We know all the stupid storylines.
Oh, I know.
It's creative. You,
Viagra on the pole. Listen, I'm not stupid, all right? I know all the dumb shit that Vince Russo's done. But you know what? We're at a point in time right now where this show sucks ass to the core. It would not hurt to bring Russo back and let him, you know, creatively do something. And then for all the Vince Russo haters out there, if Russo was to come back and he would be in that position and he would fail, there you go. Maybe Vince McMahon was the one behind it all along. But, you know, here's the problem I have with that. If Vince McMahon was the creative force behind it all along, then why does the show suck so badly now when Vince Russo ain't been there in years?
You know what's interesting? If Vince Russo is hired today, don't you think people would say, maybe I'll just watch Raw just to see what happens?
Oh, I think
why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could only help the ratings. I mean, the ratings are going in the toilet.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, let's give Vince Russo a couple of weeks and see what he comes up with. I mean, not that I'm endorsing Vince Russo. By all means, I'm not. But my gosh, you just continue on with the same generic, boring, retreaded, copied storylines that nobody wants to see, and I'm supposed to say, ooh, I got to watch Raw this week. Not so much.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even have cable anymore.
I mean, so you know what? Vince Russo always talking about the superstars and what he would do if he were there. Okay, well, let the damn guy come over there and see what he can do. Let's see what Vince Russo can do with Bray Wyatt. Let's see what Vince Russo can do with Kevin Owens. Let's see what Vince Russo can do with Seth Rollins. Let's see what Vince Russo can do with that piece of shit show called Monday Night Raw. Let's see what he can do with Thursday Night SmackDown. Let's see what Vince Russo can do with New Day. All right? Let's just see what happens. That's all I'm saying. Not a Vince Russo supporter, but you know what? They can't do anything wrong right now anyways. You know, it could not hurt them to put Vince Russo out there, or give Paul Heyman an opportunity, or give Jim Cornette an opportunity, you know, get some of these wrestling minds back in there. And I ain't saying that Russo's a wrestling mind. I'm just saying that guy got lucky. Let's see if he can get lucky again. Maybe Vince Russo can lead us into a new boom period that I heard so much about. Well, I'm still waiting on that damn boom period.
What boom? That boom that he can't even get a TV deal?
Yeah, well.
What people are going to say, those TNA... Well, I should say the Vince Russo haters. Because every time we mention Vince Russo, I always get this, why do you even talk about the guy? Why even bring his name up anymore? Because of all the recent stuff they remember. Well, if you want to focus only on the bad, I understand that. But you can't take the good without the bad and the bad without the good.
Right.
And my gosh, I mean... They could hire a 19-year-old kid to write better stories than this, Frank. It doesn't take a genius. A little bit of knowledge of wrestling. Yeah, wrestling. I said wrestling, not sports entertainment. And that's another thing, Frank. I'm so tired of hearing sports entertainment. What makes NXT good? It's wrestling. Professional wrestling. Oh, my gosh. Wrestlers.
Yeah, and, you
wrestling
know,
in a ring, in a wrestling ring, and they're wrestlers.
On this particular day in history right now, right here on the GRP, the Gerwick Report podcast, a podcast that tells it like it is. I'm going to recoin the phrase sports entertainment into athletic entertainment.
Amen.
That's what the hell it is. There ain't nothing sporty about professional wrestling. Sorry, it's not a real sport. Okay? It ain't football. It ain't MMA. It ain't basketball. It ain't baseball. It ain't none of that shit. It's athletic entertainment. That's what it is. And that's from now on, that's what we're going to call it. All right? Period.
And I've thought that for a long time. When I think sports, I think NFL, I think Major League Baseball, I think National Hockey League, etc. I don't think professional wrestling. Professional wrestling is not a legitimate sports competition. So don't call it sports entertainment. Really, if you want to get, you know, split hairs, NFL is sports entertainment. It's sports and it's entertaining, right?
Right.
The World Wrestling Entertainment is not sports entertainment.
And it damn sure ain't entertaining.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, Steve, I want to get off of the bullshit now because, you know, we actually got some...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I want to get off the bullshit now of continuing to talk about this.
Wait a minute. People want us to come on this show. People want us to do a GRP. What do you want me to say?
Well, I got some better content to talk about now.
I've got a shovel. I've got two shovels.
Yeah, well, I'm sick of shoveling shit. So, you know...
Lay it on me.
We actually got some listener questions that were sent to GerwickReport@gmail.com. Once again, if you're listening right now to the GRP and you want to have something to say to Frank D or Steve Gerwick, it's very simple. GerwickReport@gmail.com. So here's some questions that came in too. Got one here from Kevin from Orlando, Florida. Stumbled upon your podcast on TV Tracks, and I like your take on wrestling. I have two questions for you. Number one, what did you guys think about the CM Punk work shoot promo leading up to Money in the Bank from 2011? And the second question is, what do we think happened with Wade Barrett's push? It seems like he's either injury prone or he pissed somebody out. What do you guys think?
Wade Barrett. Well, actually, he's King Barrett now, right?
Yep.
He's been in the doghouse for a while, it seems like. He gets a little bit of a run, gets pushed. I mean, everybody, you've talked about this before, Frank. You could do something with Bray Wyatt. You could do something with Kevin Owens. You could do something with King Barrett, too. I don't know. They have these talent. It's not, I mean, as much as we criticize what we've seen so far, WWE has talent. They have really good wrestlers. They have writers that cannot make them entertaining. Because they just don't let them be who they are. I'm a big fan of Wade Barrett. I think he could do much bigger things. In fact, Frank, I'm kind of surprised when I think about it. We've seen a lot of people, you go up, you know, move up and get that world championship. I know he's been an Intercontinental Champion how many times. I mean, when does he get his run? And he's been in there a long time. When does he get his run with the WWE Championship?
I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened with Wade Barrett. It's very simple. It's called John Cena SummerSlam 2010. That's what happened to Wade Barrett. And you people out there probably wondering, what the hell am I talking about? I'm talking about Nexus. I'm talking about Nexus versus Team WWE at SummerSlam 2010, the night where the infamous Super Cena spot happened on the outside of the ring in which John Cena was DDT'd on concrete and got back up and did the Superman comeback and squashed Nexus all in one night. That's what happened with Wade Barrett, and the group nor Barrett has ever recovered from that. You go further from that. Let's go down to Survivor Series 2010, Wade Barrett versus WWE Champion Randy Orton with the stipulation of John Cena being the special guest referee, and if Cena doesn't count Wade Barrett as the new champion, he's fired. Okay? Once again, story built around John Cena. After that, hey, he loses the leadership of Nexus. That goes to CM Punk. He forms their core on SmackDown, and they do nothing with the core. They start jobbing the core out. Then the core breaks up, and then Wade Barrett's on his own. And then they give him some ridiculous music. And then he comes back. He's Bad News Barrett. And then he's King Barrett. And he is what he is now, feuding with Neville, going nowhere. That's what happened with Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett's a hell of a talent, but you know what? I don't think Wade Barrett is ever going to get past a certain level that he's at right now. He's going to be stuck in the mid card, and that's just what it is. Okay? That's what I think happened with Wade Barrett.
I tend to agree with that.
And the other question was about CM Punk and the work shoot promo he did leading up to Money in the Bank 2011. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now my feeling on this situation. I've said it many times before. I think the promo was money. The things he said about Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Stephanie had people talking. People who weren't even wrestling fans were talking about that promo. It brought people back into it, all leading up to Money in the Bank 2011 in Chicago. But here's where WWE messed up the angle. First of all, the night they shot the promo, it was in Las Vegas, they taped another episode of Raw in which, once again, Vince McMahon came out and made a stipulation that if John Cena did not beat CM Punk at Money in the Bank, he would be fired. Nobody in their right mind actually thought that John Cena was going to get fired. He's the cash cow of WWE, the face of the brand. He ain't going to get fired. Okay? That's strike number one. Strike number two is that, you know what? They could have handled this situation a lot differently than what they did. CM Punk came back on Raw the night that John Cena won the championship in that match with Rey Mysterio. He comes back. He has his belt. But what do we see? We don't see CM Punk coming through the crowd to confront John Cena wearing street clothes. No, we are a cult of personality playing over the loudspeakers, and then out walks CM Punk on the stage wearing his wrestling gear. And that right there, to me, kind of killed the angle. Because if it was done like it should have been done, which is CM Punk kind of being an outsider in the situation, I think it would have came off a little bit better than what it did. And that's my thoughts on that.
Now, I tell you what, too, and to change the subject a little bit, with CM Punk right now, getting a lot of flack because he spoke out against the breast cancer that WWE sponsors. And all I can say about this, Frank, and you know this, these charities, you really have to do your homework with. A lot of these charities take your money, and they may take 10% of it and put it to where it's supposed to be. And a lot of it goes to the CEOs, a lot of it goes to them flying all over the country, all over the world, at your expense. So he got a lot of flack. And I know it's Breast Cancer Month. I see it on the NFL. Everybody's wearing pink this month, which gets a little redundant after a while. I can see maybe doing 1 week of it, and then you kind of move on. But it's all month. We're seeing pink everywhere. And believe me, I'm concerned about breast cancer, too. I'm concerned about all these cancers. Pediatric cancer and lung cancer and people getting cancer that don't smoke and getting lung cancer. What about finding the cause of all this cancer? Oh, we can't do that. We got to find a cure. We got to keep, we got to keep pumping money into this cash cow. I know there's legitimate charities out there, Frank, but I don't believe the one that WWE supports is the way to go. I actually agree with CM Punk on this. That you have to be very, very careful with whether you give your money to Red Cross or Salvation Army and some of the other charities out there. You got to be very, very careful. Look into exactly where the money goes. And does it really benefit those that you are trying to give the money to? Every time I see these advertisements for, kids starving all across the world, you got to be very, very careful. Not that I'm against that, but you have to be very careful looking into that charity and seeing if your money is really going to these kids. A lot of times your money goes to the government that's oppressing the people that can't get the food. So all I can say is be very, very careful. And I'm glad actually CM Punk has the balls to speak out a little bit against this. Because, this month to speak out against breast cancer or this particular group, that shows a little of fortitude there by CM Punk. And I'm kind of glad he spoke out. I just think, if nothing else, a little awareness about what's really going on. We need to find the cause of all this cancer. Why is autism through the roof? Why was autism 1 out of 20,000 kids and now it's 1 out of 58 and getting worse? Let's find the cause. But we got to keep, there's not much money in that. We got to keep, the research and doing more research, which that's fine doing the research, but let's find the cause and then maybe we can find the cure.
I mean, I couldn't say it better than that. But ultimately, I'm just going to say this. I believe they already have cures for all this shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's what I believe. I think they already have cures for cancers, cures for AIDS. I mean, hell,
yes.
Magic Johnson had that shit years and years ago, and this guy is still walking around now. So
He's cured.
So don't tell me they don't have it. They just don't have it for, you know, Joe Schmo like myself or you or anybody else out there because we can't afford it. That's just bottom line the way it is. You know what I mean? They have all this shit. So.
No question about it. No doubt about it. It's out there.
Yep.
But they're going to keep milking us because it's more money treating it than giving you the cure.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to say it like this. You know, people out there don't want to really hear about these issues. They don't want to talk about these issues because they're too busy keeping up with the Kardashians. They're too busy talking about, you know, bullshit stories like Caitlyn Jenner and, you know, Ronda Rousey wanting to beat up Justin Bieber. They want to keep up with that bullshit instead of keeping up with what's actually going on in your face, which you need to be worried about. So it is what it is.
Yeah, things that really matter. Like, do I really care that Playboy is dropping their airbrush nude photographs in March? I really don't care.
I don't read the publications. I don't give a damn.
I don't care. I mean, find the cause of these ailments and let's fix them. And no doubt, they have cancer cures. They have autism cures. They have cures for pretty much anything you can think of, lupus, all this stuff. But it's only the elite, and that's why you see a lot of these elite that live to be 80, 90 years old, because they have it. These Rockefellers and Rothsteins, and look at George Bush Sr. How old is he now? And he's still around.
Yeah, but he looks decrepit.
Yeah. He looks decrepit, but if it was you or me, we'd be dead a long time ago if we're in the same boat he's in. What else you got for us today, Frank?
All right, we got a question here. Paul from Seattle, Washington asks us, what do you think was the biggest reason the invasion angle failed in the good old WWF?
Well, let's see. They didn't want to put WCW over WWF. The ego of Vince McMahon, and he was so hell-bent on, I've got to destroy WCW. I own it, and now I'm going to take out my little wee-wee, and I'm going to pee on it. That about sums it up.
I see it a little bit differently. I see it a little bit differently than that. I mean, that's easy to say, but there's so many different factors that go into why the invasion angle failed. Number one, obviously.
Well, bottom line, Frank, he was never going to put WCW over his own company.
No, that's half of it. The other part of it is that Vince McMahon did not, you know, pick up the contracts. A lot of the bigger stars from WCW. You know what? No disrespect towards Diamond Dallas Page or Booker T, but the majority of wrestling fans, when you think about WCW and the legacy of WCW, you don't think about Booker T or Diamond Dallas Page. You think about
Goldberg.
You think about Hulk Hogan. You think about Ric Flair. You think about Lex Luger. You think about Sting. You think about all these different guys that were big-time players in, you know, WCW. Unfortunately, though, these guys had separate contracts with AOL Time Warner in which they were getting a lot of money to sit out, and I don't blame them. Sit out and make as much money as you can. But if Vince McMahon had have paid the money for these contracts, he would have got that money back just like that because there was so much, you know, going into that invasion angle. People really wanted to see what the outcome of this was going to be. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. I mean, even though later on he signed Goldberg, he signed the NWO, you signed Ric Flair, most recently you signed Sting after all these years. Nonetheless, that's the reason why it failed. And then you have Stone Cold Steve Austin joining WCW, and that didn't do anything. You got the weak WCW brand. It's like this. Booker T is the WCW champion. He's the WCW U.S. champion, but he's the bitch boy to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I would think if it's WCW, if Booker T's coming around with the big gold belt and the U.S. belt, I would think he would be the leader. But no, they put Stone Cold Steve Austin as the leader and put Booker T in the background and put Diamond Dallas Page in the background. Okay, and then you have all these B-team guys that nobody gave a shit about during the end days of WCW. Nobody gave a damn about any of these guys, and these are the guys that you're pushing on television. Okay, and then you bring up the ECW guys, which I will say, as far as ECW goes, you have Paul Heyman there, you got Raven, Taz, the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, Rob Van Dam. You know, it looks like ECW. Problem was, when they blew with that, you put Stephanie McMahon as the owner of ECW when you got Paul Heyman right there. That right there is just complete stupidity. You got to involve the McMahons. And that's just dumb shit right there. That's why it didn't work. Okay, nobody took it seriously. Nobody gave a damn about this, you know, McMahon versus McMahon storyline. That's pretty much what they did with it. So that, in my opinion, is what happened to the invasion angle, why it failed. And had that invasion angle worked, you would have had the Super Bowl of wrestling that everybody wanted to see. You would have had that at WrestleMania 18. You could have had Austin versus, you know, Goldberg. You could have had Hogan versus Rock. You're going to have all these different matches that people really want to see, truly WCW versus WWF versus ECW. You're going to have that. But they, you know, screwed it up, and Vince's ego played a big part in that. And now you can relive all of it on the WWE Network for $9.99 or a free trial. And, you know, that pretty much sums up, in my opinion, of what, you know, went wrong with the invasion angle.
And then not to mention, too, going back to that time frame, remember, I think when Vince originally bought WCW, he expected it to be a separate brand. He was going to run it as a separate brand. He was going to put it on a Saturday night time slot or another night and run it separately. And at that time, the networks didn't really want that. So then he had to do something else with it.
Steve, I'm going to tell you right now what WCW, if it had been run separately as its own brand, WCW, what it would have been, it would have been Velocity. Is what it would
yeah.
be like.
Oh, yeah.
People don't, they probably would say, oh, no, it's WC. No, it would have been Velocity, is what they would have done with that show.
Yeah.
It would have been
right.
a late night, Saturday night show, is what it yep. originally was. It was originally, the tickets for this show was called Shane McMahon Presents WCW, is what it was called. If you go on YouTube right now, there's a promo talking about WCW, the brand. And it has like Sean Stasiak and Lance Storm and all these different guys on the promo. All right. That was the plan. And, you know, TNN, they didn't want to give Vince any more time for this. But ultimately, that's what it would have been. It would have been Velocity. It would have been, you know, a low rent version of Sunday Night Heat. Okay? I mean, we saw what happened when WCW debuted on Raw with Buff Bagwell versus Booker T as the main event. We saw what happened with that shit.
And well, he could have.
And right there, that's another thing. That's right there is where Vince kind of gave up with it right there because of the reactions that match got.
Can you imagine if he bought WCW today, he'd get as many time slots as he wants, as many hours of television as he would want.
Yeah.
They're looking for more and more programming. And at that time, in 2001, he thought for sure he could get TNN to give him a Saturday night time slot for WCW, and they didn't want it.
Well,
and then they
at that point, though, also, at that point, that's when the ratings really started to go down to where they are now. It all started way back then. And it's just, you know, year after year after year, the ratings
yep.
have gone lower and lower and lower, and it's just what it is. Hey, you know what? They're making a lot more money today because they have a lot more revenue streams today than they did years ago. But creatively, that show sucks ass. You listen to the reactions that these guys get now, and look at the reactions that some of these wrestlers would get back in Hogan's era or the Attitude era. The excitement is just gone, man. There's no excitement anymore about seeing professional wrestling, and that sucks because you have a lot of good talents out there busting their ass, but nobody gives a damn. Mainstream today doesn't care about WWE. I don't give a shit how many times WWE goes on ESPN's SportsCenter. It don't matter. Mainstream, it ain't never going to be accepted.
When you think about that period, the WCW fans gave up on WCW when Vince bought WCW. And they knew Vince was going to run it into the ground. Vince thought, I buy WCW, and I can get some of the talent, and I can bring in their audience. I won the war, the Monday Night War. It's me. I won. But a lot of the fans didn't come over, and a lot of them were loyal to WCW. I mean, I remember having those debates with wrestling fans. People liked either WCW or WWF, and you would say, hey, I thought Raw was a better show. Oh, Nitro's a better show, and you'd have these arguments, and people were very loyal to one side or the other.
Oh, kind of like today, where if I say I don't like TNA, people jump all down your throat and they spam you and they come out the woodwork and talking shit. But we used to do it the same thing back in the day. Either you liked Raw or you didn't like Raw, you hated Nitro or you liked Nitro. That's just what it was. It's no different now. So if I was watching wrestling back then, watching the Monday Night War, and I'm watching Nitro, and I'm watching Raw, and I'm like, hey, this show really sucks. Does that make me any less of a wrestling fan? No. I have an opinion. I think it sucks. I have an opinion about TNA. I think it sucks. Same shit. Same shit, different time.
We've been going downhill since 2001.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, when ECW folded and WCW was bought out and a lot of the fans got disgruntled and they didn't want to switch over to WWF because they probably knew realistically that Vince wasn't going to do nothing with it, that, you know, okay, we'll find something else. You know, there's a lot of other forms of entertainment out there, and it just expands. There's video games and Netflix and everything else. You know, back then you could still rent DVDs and VHS tapes. And now, you know, we gave it a chance. WCW lost. Okay, Vince won the war, but you know what? I'm not going to watch it. And they didn't.
You know what's funny? You bring that up. You bring that up about renting VHS tapes and shit. Because I remember back in the day, and a lot of people out there today probably don't remember this, but, you know, we used to have video stores back in the day. You know, we had Blockbuster Video. We had Hollywood Video and shit. And we had these little mom-and-pop video stores. And I loved going to the mom-and-pop video stores.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would always have the best wrestling videotapes. And at a certain point in time, I would say around 2004 is when DVD was really coming into play. They started selling all the DVD. That's how I got a majority of my library, is that I would go to all these different video stores around the San Fernando Valley, you know, here in California, and I would go and I would raid their video stores. And I would get a Coliseum videotape that I have that's worth $100 now. I would buy it for like $6 because wrestling was, you know, wrestling was in the shitter. They wanted to just get rid of it. Nobody was renting those tapes. So I was buying all the tapes. You know what I mean? So that's where, I mean, it really trickled down. The trickle-down effect as well started with the video stores. That's where it started.
That's some great memories. I remember Blockbuster. The big chains would always have all the pay-per-views.
Yep.
But you go to those mom-and-pop shops, they would have all the Coliseum videos. They would have the special videos, independent videos. I always love going to those mom-and-pop video stores. It's too bad that they're not around anymore. I guess now with, you know, Netflix and YouTube. But, I mean, you know, Frank, we just lost Blockbuster about a year ago. It was still around here, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everything has changed now. Everything is on demand. I can see where you probably made out very, very well with all these shops closing up and getting rid of all their libraries. I know the Blockbuster here in town, when it was closing up, they were selling everything for, you know, $3-4 for a DVD, and you could pretty much have the pick of the litter. They're getting rid of all their big-time movies, and. Yeah, you could really make it out. And I'm sure they had a lot of the wrestling titles in there as well, video game titles, etc.
Oh, I'm telling you, I did, man. I have that stuff under lock and key. You know, I have a very good assortment of Coliseum videotapes. And I'm talking about Crunch Classics. You know, I got that shit. I got Invasion 92, you know, shit like that. I got, you know, Original Survivor Series. I got a lot of stuff, you know. But I got, and it was simply because the video stores got rid of it because they were shifting towards DVD. A lot of them were going out of business, and just nobody was renting the wrestling titles. And it would be easy to go in there and actually negotiate with these mom and pops. Hey, this tape costs $8. Can I get it for $3? And they were like, yeah, just to get rid of it.
Yeah. Nobody was renting it, so yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Any other questions for us, Frank?
No, that was it. And if you have any questions out there for us, gerwickreport@gmail.com, once again, is the place to go, and you can send your questions, and you might hear your question answered here on the GRP.
And, you know, I got a kick, too. TNA puts out these little videos every now and then with their talent. There was a little TNA video produced that centered on what is your favorite destination in America? You know, kind of a play on words with Destination America. And I couldn't help to think, Frank, every time I watched that, I expected everybody to say Stamford, Connecticut.
Hmm.
Huh.
I can see what you're getting with that.
It was so corny to come up with, what is your favorite destination in America? And then just having all those talents, would have just said Stamford. I mean, if they were honest, Stamford, Connecticut, or at least NXT in Florida now. But at least they'd have a job where, you know, they would pay me on a weekly basis and we wouldn't get behind in pay with production costs, you know, et cetera. So I just thought that was interesting. And another thing, too, Frank, you said this before with the big announcements. Dixie Carter, she does herself no favors with these big announcements. Because now, you know, we're in this era now where the TV situation is very much in the air. Every time she says, big announcement, well, the fan base think it's going to be, oh, it's the new network. And, you know, Dixie, you just got to lay off his big announcements, because has she ever really made any legitimate big announcement?
No, I mean really,
I mean,
the big announcement that I remember them making was pretty much like, you know, maybe three in the history of that company that I can think of. And if anybody else out there has any, you can email them at Gmail, thegmail.com. You know, you can email them at gerwickreport@gmail.com. The first one was Kurt Angle coming to the company. The second one was probably...
But that wasn't an announcement. He just showed up at the pay-per-view.
Well, he just showed up, but, you know, they were bragging about it.
Yeah, I'm talking about you gotta join us. We got a big announcement. Here it is. And you're like, okay, it's a major signing, or...
I think the last time that happened, though, was probably with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, probably, or I guess this last go-around with television.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was late-breaking news on the Gerwick Report podcast.
Hey, you remember back in the day, Steve, when TNA really got pissed at Gerwick.net? Is when we broke the story about Sting coming into the company? The new face of TNA?
They've been mad at me a lot, haven't they?
They probably have.
Yeah, they're probably not going to like this podcast either. That's probably the reason we got spammed on Facebook.
Well, nonetheless.
And by the way, we did pull the plug on that Facebook group.
The Facebook group is gone, and it's just, it is what it is. I mean, honestly, you know, Steve and I are very busy. I don't have time to run the group. Steve doesn't have time to run the group, so it's better just to let it go. But nonetheless, we might come back with a group later on, but right now, it just wasn't for us. But all the group members out there who I've become good friends with, you know, a lot of you, we'll continue to do our thing. But as far as the Gerwick Report podcast official Facebook group page is null and void.
And it was funny, too, as I put out a new podcast, a solo podcast, and what people thought we were arguing now, that we had a falling out.
Yeah, people thought...
Oh. Yeah. Well, not going to do a GRP anymore. Steve doing his own show now. I guess that's it for
the show. Well, you know, because the thing about it was that I was doing Raw Deal, you know, me and Adley, and then you came up with the Steve Gerwick podcast, and people thought, you know, we had some kind of heat with each other and we weren't doing it anymore. And I'm like, no, it's just that, you know, it's broadening our content. You know, sometimes Steve is available to do a show, sometimes he's not. Sometimes I want to do a different type of show, which is Raw Deal, which is, you know, we go a little bit more explicit on that show, and that's what we do. Steve Gerwick podcast is basically Steve talking about topics he wants to talk about that has nothing to do with wrestling. It pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I just got noticed I'm on Stitcher now, so the Steve Gerwick podcast is on Stitcher. So if you look for us, the GRP, there. You can also look up the Steve Gerwick podcast as well. I only got one episode out so far. I wanted to get it launched, get it going, and look for some interesting guests and topics in the future. That's all I can say at this point. A lot of things in the works right now. Wheels are in motion there. But no, we didn't. I was getting the same messages. Oh, did you ever fall out with Frank? Are you guys not going to do the show anymore? You guys don't get along anymore?
All right.
So, No, nothing like that. It's just, I mean, honestly, we have really, over the course of the last 2 years now, we're coming close on 2 years of doing this GRP. For the most part, if you go back and look, I mean, we've had many weeks where we did at least one episode. Sometimes there was two episodes. Sometimes we do an interview plus an episode as well that week. You know, you've been doing the Raw Deal in addition to the GRP. I mean, there's a lot of content out there. I'll start doing the Steve Gerwick podcast, doing some non-related wrestling topics as well. But, you know, it's just time-consuming. And I know, you know, Frank's got a real job, too. And, you know, we have to support our families and work hard at what we do. And, you know, we try to put on as entertaining as a product as we can. If wrestling was really entertaining and gripping, I'd have no problem doing a weekly show. It's just, you know, most weeks come out and, you know, here we are midweek, and I'll say to Frank, you know, not much really going on, is there? You're like, no, not really. And then it's like, okay, how do you produce that into a podcast?
Right.
And, you know, I think today we went into a lot of different areas with the podcast. You know, I think we lived up to our billing of we tell it like it is. You know, we're not shills for any of the companies. And we're just going to tell it like it is. We're going to lay it on the line. I think we've got some interesting perspectives. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Real quickly, I wanted to, because, you know, somebody always mentions it on the Gerwick.net website, do the poll results. So here's a couple quick the poll results here. We have Matt Hardy wins the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. 68% said thumbs up. 32% said thumbs down. And it was really interesting, too, Frank, because it was pretty positive. And then I thought once the announcement came that, you know, Matt was giving up the championship, I think it changed a little bit. But I don't know. What's your overall thought on Matt Hardy winning the TNA championship?
You know what? When I heard about it, honestly, I was like, okay, this might be a good idea. This might be good. I mean, they gave it to Jeff when Jeff was doing a lot of stupid shit he shouldn't have been doing. So Matt Hardy couldn't hurt. But looking at it now, they should have just kept the belt on EC3. But nonetheless, since the poll was, you know, about Matt Hardy being a champion, I might have to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I agree. I always liked Matt, and I'm just not a real big EC3 person, but I can understand the flip argument is like, okay, we're trying to build up a new star in EC3. Why take the championship off him now? But, you know, if they would have continued the storyline, it would have given him a little more cred, I think, having Matt Hardy as your champion. But I don't know, Frank, you said they've had this in the vault for 6 months, so that's the plan. So
yeah,
we can't call an audible, so we got to go with it. A poll that actually I think you suggested, is Seth Rollins overrated? 69% said no, 31% said yes. You know, he really reminds me of a wrestler, kind of like a CM Punk. He is the underdog. He comes from the smaller group. I want this guy to, you know, get pushed. Maybe even Daniel Bryan to a certain degree. We're talking about the Yes movement and how people kind of got tired of that as well. It's his underdog that you want to succeed. And Randy Orton, when he first came on the scene, is, okay, he's a new face. I want him to be a new star. I'm tired of these old faces. Let's push him to the top. And then once they get to the top, you're like, okay, you know, not much has changed. Okay, we got a new face on top, but really it's the same stale old product. I don't know, Frank. I personally like Seth Rollins, but I can see where people say, you know, he's not really lit a fire in WWE, hasn't really changed the culture very much. But I think overall he's doing probably the best he can under the circumstances he's under.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, I think Seth Rollins is probably the closest that you have to CM Punk today. But, yeah, creatively, it's not exactly lighting the world on fire, and it shows in the ratings, but it's not his fault. It's creative's fault. If they were let CM, you know, if they were let Seth Rollins, you know, loose and see what he can do, instead of, you know, what he's doing right now, it would probably be a lot better than what they're doing. But nonetheless, I don't think the dude's overrated. I think he's one of the best athletes that they have right now in there, and he deserves to be the WWE champion. Even though I think that creatively, it, like I said, it's not setting the world on fire.
Absolutely not. We also had, will Destination America, or I should say, will Impact Wrestling find a new TV home after leaving Destination America? 67% said no. It's only one third. I guess that's the one third of the audience they survived from the million viewers of Spike Television. So two-thirds of those voting, I guess they're all just TNA haters, Frank, but two-thirds of the voters out there at girlwick.net do not believe TNA will find another television deal.
I think they will.
I'm gonna stay with the majority here and say they probably won't, but then again, I didn't think they'd land on Destination America either.
Well, you know what? They went dark after Fox Sports Net. And they went dark, and they were producing, you know, I think they were on, like, the internet doing their Impact show, and maybe on YouTube, and then they got signed to Spike. I'm just saying, I think they will. I think that this is the wrestling company that really won't never die.
I guess they're really benefited by how many different networks
are. You know
what's
funny, Steve? It's crazy, real quick, that this company has outlasted WCW. It's funny.
WCW in terms of total years.
Exactly.
And then would also have outlasted ECW.
Uh-huh.
Because ECW was what, 93?
Yep.
Or would have been the East Coast Championship Wrestling at that point.
Yeah, Eastern Championship Wrestling, yep.
So yeah, so that would have been 93. So that's so they've outlasted WCW and ECW.
Yep.
Wow.
That's why I said that's the company that will never die. It's not like, you know, listen, it's not like you have a company here that doesn't have money. They got money. It's just the Carters don't want to pump it into the company. They have money.
Well, they've pumped a lot of money in, and it's, where's the result?
Yeah, well, shit happens.
Then you got Mama Carter coming in and putting a little halt on some things there.
Yeah.
We also ran, yeah, Would you like to see Eric Bischoff in WWE again?
Yes.
65% say yes. I'd like to see EZE back in WWE. Let me put you on the spot a little bit, Frank. If Eric Bischoff comes back tomorrow and Frank D's head of creative, what does Eric Bischoff do in WWE?
I think that Eric Bischoff would be suitable as maybe the general manager again. I think that Bischoff was probably the best general manager they ever had on television. I think that that would be a good role for him. That's why I see Eric Bischoff fitting in. And I want to say this to you right quick, too, Steve. I don't know if you noticed that. I had actually watched the preview for the Sting Into the Light DVD set on the network the other night. And it's funny because they actually do mention TNA by name on the DVD.
So they're allowed to mention indie feds?
I guess so. I mean, Sting was like, yeah. You know, he WWE shut down, and then, you know, Jim Ross was talking about how he wanted to sign Sting, but it just didn't happen. And Sting went to another option, and Sting mentioned that, you know, he went to TNA. Said it clear as day. Went to TNA. And they actually showed pictures of him in TNA.
Maybe Vince really owns TNA.
I don't know.
I like the kayfabe. What's the one where they do the parodies? When James Storm jumped to NXT.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dixie Carter's invasion. Master plan of the invasion. That's money. That James Storm's jumping to NXT is part of Dixie's plan for her talent to invade WWE.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I want to quickly also mention, Frank, that you know, last month, William Regal, commanding, was voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. I believe he got 93% of the total vote. You know, William Regal's always been a very good worker, great facials, great on the mic. I was a little surprised, Frank, personally, that he got 93%, but there's a lot of Regal fans out there.
Yeah. I mean, William Regal is a man. Can't knock him.
Yeah. So congratulations to Regal. And, of course, this month, Frank, for the month of October, does Demolition belong in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple suggestions here for some of the names that did not make it on the first ballot. So Demolition was first up, and Demolition is actually, last I checked, between 78 and 79%. So looking really good for Here Comes the Axe and Here Comes the Smasher. So it looks like they're heading to the Hall of Fame. I guess to play the devil's advocate real quick, people would say on the flip side was, of course, the old argument is it was the LOD ripoff. But the real question might be, Frank, did they just have enough longevity to qualify? Now, individually, Bill Eadie and Barry Darso, both, you know, ring generals, have been in the wrestling business a long time. But if you look at the whole total run of Demolition, it wasn't around all that long.
No, it wasn't. It was only a few years. But they had some outstanding matches with the Hart Foundation. I remember those. They actually, like, they wrestled them for the tag team titles at a couple of SummerSlams. I believe, like, two SummerSlams they wrestled them. So it was because of matches like that. That's the reason why people put Demolition up there the way they do. And Demolition was just cool. You know what? I'm being honest with you. I had access to the World Wrestling Federation at the time, so I'm more of a Demolition guy than I am a Road Warriors guy.
So this month, you can decide, do the Demolition belong in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame? And I always appreciate, you can email me, hallofame@gerwick.net, and make your suggestions. And you can actually go to Gerwick.net and check the list of those that were not voted in the first time. Like China was not voted in the first time, she made it the second time. Triple H did not make it in the first time, he made it in the second time. So if there's a name out there, we've talked about it before, Diamond Dallas Page, didn't make it the first time. Does he belong back on the ballot and should be voted in the Hall of Fame? RVD didn't make it the first time. Does he belong it in the second time? Will he get in the second time? You can decide that. So we always appreciate your feedback at www.gerweck.net. And definitely check out prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. Support the website, support the GRP. Maybe someday we'll have a Raw Deal podcast t-shirt up there as well. You can support us there. Frank, go ahead and plug the YouTube page.
Yeah, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Once again, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. People subscribe to the page every day, and we really appreciate that very much. Like I said before, interviews up there right now with Two Cold Scorpio, beautiful Bobby Eaton, Eric Bischoff, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Virgil, Vince Russo is up there as well. So check it out right now, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Also, if you can, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. And if you want to, you can actually leave feedback on there as well. We really appreciate that. And once again, just spread the word about the podcast. Hey, tell people you like what you hear on the GRP. You like what you hear on the Raw Deal. You like what you hear on the Steve Gerwick Podcast. We tell it like it is, and we always keep it 100.
If you enjoyed today's Gerwick Report podcast, we encourage you to go to gerwick.net at www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. You can also find all the archives of previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast there. Additionally, check out our Facebook discussion group. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. You can follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel at Gerwick Report on YouTube. Find us on Stitcher, on TuneIn. Check us out on Instagram. We appreciate your support here at Gerwick.net and the Gerwick Report podcast. Again, check out all your wrestling news at Gerwick.net and stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.